This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Most passing yards is a prop that I think a lot of folks like to talk about because just like I'm a Grinch betting the under on Joey Chestnut and winning, a lot of folks want to just talk about how many, how much overs, as you talked about before, Jeremy. Here are the most passing yards numbers on the board as of right now. Your favorites, Justin Herbert is at the very top at 4-1. Tom Brady, 5.5. Patrick Mahomes at 6-1, even without Tyreek Hill. Derek Carr, 8-1 after the addition of Devontae Adams and of Josh McDaniels. Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow at 9-1. Josh Allen at 10. Dak Prescott, 12. Aaron Rodgers, two-time MVP at 14-1. Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Kirk Cousins all at 18. It gets a little hopey from there. You got to be dreaming on some things from there on. You talked about it earlier. We talk about value a lot. Do any of those present value to you in the market for most passing yards?
I guess the thing I would look at, and sometimes it is just a guy that's on a great team that has a phenomenal season that leads the league in passing, but other times we have it, players in a tougher division. Like as soon as you started saying it, I was going, wonder where Kirk Cousins is on this list, because Minnesota's a team that I'm bullish on coming into this season. They had a -1 point differential last year. They got a new coach coming in, new philosophy. I think offensively they're going to be better. They're bringing back a lot of the same weapons. And they're in a division where I think they're going to be able to beat up on two teams, or should be. And we all think Green Bay is going to be really good. I still think they're going to be good. But I can still see this being a team that's trailing in some games and playing catch up. That would be one that I would be intrigued on. By no means do I love betting on Kirk Cousins, but I do think there's some good value for a guy that's thrown for 5,000 yards before. So that would be one. The other one that, you know, when you were talking about the AFC West and right in your neck of the woods, I'd be interested in Carr. Because the AFC West, I would not be shocked if any one of these teams made or missed the playoffs. That includes the Chiefs, and I know I'm in the minority with that. I fully expect the Chiefs to be in the playoffs. What I'm saying is that's a loaded division. I don't think people realize how set the Broncos were before they got Russell Wilson. They were missing a quarterback. How good this Raiders team was, and now they have two of the best route runners in all of football, and you add in Darren Waller, who's a freak of nature at that position. They're going to be throwing the football left and right and have a great opportunity in a division where these teams could be having shootouts. We could be seeing a lot of, you know, 38, 35 games.
So let's take that idea and take it a step farther, Jeremy, because why would you bet Derek Carr in that spot? Now, I don't love the number at 8-1, so I'm not going to bet this myself, but I will make you the case if you want to go ahead and do that. The Raiders, even though they are a playoff caliber roster, they made it in those wild card last year, they are clearly the fourth best team in the AFC West. It's not all that close if you talk about rosters up and down, top to bottom. The Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos are all better rosters than the Raiders. I'm 100% with you on the Broncos and what the addition of Russell Westbrook could mean to them. I'm holding some 25-1 on the Super Bowl for them. I'm holding some 3-1 in the division on the Broncos. I'm bullish on what Denver could do. But Derek Carr and the Raiders are going to be behind a lot, and they're going to be throwing the ball a lot because of that. And he has one of the best receiving corps in the NFL. It's sort of a quiet as it's kept, right? Like, we don't look at Hunter Renfrow and think, wow, that guy's an outstanding receiver. He was a fourth-round pick out of Clemson. Hunter Renfrow had over 100 catches last year, and the more you read about defenses that go against Hunter Renfrow, they talk about the fact that you can't stick with the guy. He's got that ability to be elusive and get away. Oh, by the way, if you can keep Darren Waller on the field, you have one of the three best tight ends in the NFL as well. And now Josh McDaniels comes in having been able to maximize what he's gotten out of quarterbacks who do not have the ability of Derek Carr in the past, just talking about Mac Jones last year. So I can make you a case for Derek Carr on that board. But my advice overall, Jeremy, I'm looking to guys who are going to be behind in a lot of games because I need them to be able to throw the ball a whole lot more, right? So, you know, I don't know that Aaron Rodgers is going to be behind a lot at 14-1, and he loses his best receiver. I might, however, be willing to look at a guy like Kyler Murray at 20-1 and say, he's definitely going to be behind a lot. Now, he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins for at least the first six games of the season. That changes my handicap on him. How about further down the board? Let me ask you a question on this guy in particular, Jeremy, because I think they're going to be behind, and I think we've probably not seen the best of this guy. Trevor Lawrence was not good last year. Trevor Lawrence was also in a radioactive situation with Urban Meyer and whatever else was going on within that organization. So now Doug Peterson comes in, and we see Doug Peterson be able to hopefully turn it around for him the way he did for Carson Wentz and Nick Foles and some others. 28-1 on Trevor Lawrence. Not saying do you want to bet it, but can you see where the case would be there?
Oh, absolutely. And then now you add in a Travis Etienne as well, throwing the ball out of the backfield. I mean, you know, when I look at a guy like Pat Mahomes, he threw more touchdown passes on screens than anybody in the league. So there is something to be said about using your backs to really help you out here. And they actually have some weapons in the passing game. It's just about keeping him upright. And making sure that he doesn't get swayed one way or another or get shell-shocked like we've seen a lot of young quarterbacks in bad situations, because I think the talent's there. So I can clearly see a reason. Do I think he leads the league? No. But again, this is what we talked about with value, is that you're hoping to have an opportunity to be there. And you may miss 10 in a row, but you hit one, it makes up for all the other ones you lost when you bet those long shots. And that's what you're looking for.
I would want to shop that number. I bet you can probably find better than 28 out there. I would look to see what your book has on it. 28 to me feels a little short on what it should be. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure I want to bet that number, but I would be looking for a 35 or, you know, above on Trevor Lawrence there, because I think that when you combine arm talent, I don't have to love the receivers that they added, but they added a lot of receivers. And they're going to still be behind in a lot of games this year, even playing in a weak AFC South. So I think they're going to be throwing the ball a fair amount. On the opposite side, teams that are committed to the run, like your Baltimore Ravens, they are not necessarily going to have anybody at the top of this list because of the way that they spread the ball around in the running attack. But most rushing yards on the year, two clear options at the top, and then I think some interesting ones in the slightly longer range. Jonathan Taylor, the leader at 4-1. Derrick Henry coming back from injury at 5-1. Dalvin Cook, 7.5. Nick Chubb, 8. Najee Harris in year two of the Pittsburgh Steelers at 10-1. Joe Mixon, 12. Javonte Williams is an interesting name at 14-1. I don't really love anybody longer than that, so I'm going to stop there on the board. And if you want to add somebody in, of course, feel free to do so. But how would you handicap this market?
Najee Harris is interesting to me, but this division always makes me worry, because I think Cleveland has a defense that's better than what you expect. Nick Chubb's another one in here. I love the way both these guys run the football, but you know, it's hard to say within this division. Jonathan Taylor, if he stays healthy, I think is the guy. If I were going to kick the tires on a long shot, and trust me, I don't like this, it would be a Saquon Barkley type coming back from injury and hope to catch lightning in a bottle. Not that I'm going to bet that, but with the names you said, I have a hard time trying to find somebody, because Javonte Williams is really intriguing, but you know, it's a split backfield. The same way I feel about J.K. Dobbins in Baltimore. If they trotted him out like any one of these other guys that we talked about that's going to get the bulk of the carries, I think he could be a home run hitter for him. Of that group, I would take Nick Chubb, in thinking that he's going to get more of the carries this year and have to carry a lion's share of the load as far as the running backs go. But again, we don't know who the quarterback's going to be either, which could come into play as well.
And I think that's actually why I would want Nick Chubb in that market, right? If I'm going to look at the guys who are a little bit shorter, Nick Chubb is going to get the ball a lot. And I've heard some speculation, just listening to different podcasts and conversation from Cleveland, that Kareem Hunt's not a lock to make this roster. And if Nick Chubb's going to get even more carries when we don't know who's going to be the quarterback in Cleveland, sign me up for that. You talk about those longer shots down the board. Austin Eckler is going to be in a home run hitting kind of offense. Now, he's a guy who catches more balls than runs, but I also think the Chargers might have a few leads this year that they're trying to protect. 25-1, again, maybe not long enough. Sitting there with J.K. Dobbins at 25-1. Jeremy, they've rebuilt that offensive line, about a minute left on this side here, but J.K. Dobbins interesting to you, or is it just too much of a timeshare with the Ravens?
Too much of a timeshare. I do think Gus Edwards ends up being more of a goal line carry, but he's going to get his carries during the game. Dobbins is a guy, if he were solo in that backfield or being the feature back, he's a guy I'd definitely want to bet on because he's a home run hitter.
Yeah, I mean, a guy was up around six yards per carry before he got injured last year, along with basically, hold on, let me check my notes, every other player on the Ravens roster. That's how you lose the last seven games of the season. Talk receivers on the way back. Who is going to lead the NFL in receiving yards this year? Jeremy Kahn in Maryland, Adam Candy here in Las Vegas. Talking a little NFL on your July 4th. Hey, we're only 2 weeks away from training camp. We'll get that fired up in just a moment. It's You Better You Bet. You're locked in to BetQL.